Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings you've poured upon us this day and now the blessed opportunity to get back in your word. Help us now as we do that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z and the word guidance, if you will turn to the letter to the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews known as. Pick it up right here in chapter 1, where it reads, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, directly by Jesus Christ. By him coming down, taking on flesh, living amongst us some 33 years, speaking directly to the apostles, these whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Of course, Jesus Christ, heir of all things, just like it says over in Matthew chapter 28, that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And by him were all things made. He is the Word. It was his Word that spoke everything into existence. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, we get purged by the finished work of Jesus Christ, not by our works. We sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The prophecies that you find all the way back in the book of Psalms, speaking of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. That bringing the first begotten into the world, of course, is speaking of the physical birth of Jesus Christ. Not the beginning of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is eternal. But when he come down to take on flesh, born into the flesh. Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever, a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Speaking here, the reference to Jesus Christ, laying the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old, as doeth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Chapter 1, identifying the deity, the eternal state of Jesus Christ, and he is the creator. And he is our ultimate guide. He spoke us into existence, ordained all of us individually to a particular task, and set us on that pathway. If we so choose, he's not forcing us to, if we so choose to be obedient to that, to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, and to yield ourselves completely to his guidance, the one who is the ultimate guide for all of us. All right, roll right on into chapter 2 here for a little bit. in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This is what we have heard from Jesus Christ, what we have been taught by Jesus Christ. It is, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And that is so awesome that we have the records preserved all the way to today. Who's God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Alright, we see the reference here to Jesus Christ being the ultimate guide for us that we all need to listen to if we want to be a part of his new creation that he referred to back there, as their current one is going to be destroyed, because we know it's going to be taken away by the word of Jesus Christ. All things are going to be melted, the elements themselves, as it says over in 2 Peter. All right, now turn to Hebrews chapter 4, a reference to Jesus also being our high priest, referring to the comparison of the Mosaic law and the priesthood of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ with the new covenant being the ultimate high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 4, picking it up in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast, stand true, stand firm on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate example, being able to take on flesh, live as a mortal man, and live without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we know that Jesus Christ was tempted. He was abused. He went through all the emotions of being in a human body, in a human form, and living a human life, and suffered and died for us. The ultimate high priest. All right, now turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. A couple verses here. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Jesus Christ offered it all, offered his life as the ultimate sacrifice for us. All right, turn on over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us some awesome examples of faith. Those that have lived a faithful life, their lives recorded in the Old Testament for us to look back and compare and see that the things that we go through aren't anything new, that everyone has suffered for being a true believer, as it continues here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's look at this a little bit here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. And when we see the word hope, we know that hope is the confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies of God. When we have that confidence in that, it is evident in our lives, the way that we behave, the way that we interact with others, our relationship with God. That is the evidence of things not seen. Because you cannot see faith, you can see the results of faith. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Given us the example of how we can express our faith in the trust, confidence in the word of the Lord. When he tells us that Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence, we trust that. We didn't see it. We weren't there. No one was there until day six when he spoke Adam and Eve into existence. So it's by faith that we trust that, that we believe that. We can look around into the world and see the beauty and the majesty of God all around us, knowing that God exists. But all the way back right there in the beginning, we by faith trust his word and his testimony that he spoke everything into existence. And in all through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we see examples of faith, starting with Abel and going all the way down to the persecution of the Christians there in Jerusalem after the ascension of Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, those that were hunted down and killed, brought back to Jerusalem by Paul, and who went by the name Saul at that time. And then picking it up in chapter 12, reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses is all those through history that have expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. To run that race with patience. That kind of sounds like contradictory. If you're going to run, you really, most of the time, you want to just hit it as fast as you can. You're not going to wait around, patiently wait to finish the course. No. But depending on what kind of race you're running. If you're running a marathon, you don't burst out full strength, full speed immediately. You run it with patience. You pace yourself so that you can make it from point A to point B, not burn out too soon. So let us run with patience. That means pace yourself properly and correctly by the will of the Lord. Reads, the race that is set before us. And this race set before us is given to us as an ordination, a specific task given to each and every one of us, and guided by the word of the Lord and by the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, we can run that race with patience and reach that goal. Reads, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Once again, emphasizing our leader, our guide, our God. Listen to him. Follow him. He sets us on a course. Let's take that course and pursue the finish line, which is everlasting life with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So much ahead of us as Christians. It is so awesome. All right, let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 13. Some guidance here given to us. It reads, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Always consider others, the challenge that others face, the others that have gone through persecution. In the world today, there's horrible persecution. There's people that are hunting down Christians to kill them all around the planet, and it is on the increase and will continue to be on the increase. So have compassion for the others. Pray for each other. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Awesome words of encouragement right there. Let us know that our guide is never going to leave us, is never going to forsake us, always going to be there with us, right through whatever challenge we might be facing, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If you go back and read the full chapter 11 of Hebrews, you can see those examples of the people, the horrible things that they had to endure, and the awesome reports of their faith in the Lord. Even going through those horrible challenges, but through that process, building rewards, getting recognized for thousands of years for what they had done, for what they had revealed to all of us, their faith in God, their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, their faith that displays the hope that they have, which is that confident anticipation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God. He's promised us so much, and when you have faith in that, you have that hope, and the evidence comes forward. Let's read that again over there in chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we truly have that, it will be evident to the world. And then chapter 13, verse 5 comes clearer, where it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Your conversation, your interaction with others out there. It reads, and be content with such things as ye have. Because we know what we have to look forward to. We don't have to worry about getting it right now. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, going to be with us always, like he tells us over in Matthew chapter 28. And we can stand solid on that and have confidence in that and be assured by that. And then when we're out there and we're in those challenges, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Right in the face of the most severe persecution, we don't have to be afraid, because the Lord's right there with us. If it's our time to go, then we might be taken on out. If it's our time to shine bright as a faithful follower of the guidance of Jesus Christ. All right, now on over into chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, once again emphasizing Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the one and only true shepherd, the only one you should ever call your shepherd, Jesus Christ, reads, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through his shed blood, he becomes the ultimate shepherd, the ultimate guide for all of us. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the key. Jesus Christ, the ultimate guide, the great shepherd, follow his guidance, and he will, as it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, not our will, his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Once again, emphasizing, through Jesus Christ, the guide, the shepherd, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is so awesome. The book of Hebrews can receive so much guidance there from the book of Hebrews and the examples of the faith that we can find over in chapter 11 once again are awesome, that we can go back and look at some of the things that others have suffered. And we can see people of today suffering similar things around the world, the horrible persecution by the false religions and by the Antichrist bunch that is truly on the increase in this country. So be ready, be prepared, stand solid on the faith in Jesus Christ and looking forward to that wonderful fulfillment of the things that he has promised us for eternity to come through. All right, now look over at the letter of James. In James, in chapter 3, let's pick up some things here. Now, it's believed that this James is actually the half-brother of Jesus Christ that wrote this. And he wasn't a follower at first. He became a follower later, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see evidence that he becomes a follower. Exactly what point in time, we're not given that, but at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, his brothers were not believers and followers, but later they come to know him as their Lord, not just their older brother, but their Lord and their guide. James chapter 3, picking up verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now this masters here is not talking about a slave and master relationship. This is speaking of teachers, of pastors, of preachers, of guides. Not the ultimate guide, but as assistants to the ultimate guide. He gives us opportunity to teach and to guide those that are less mature than we are. As we grow and mature as Christians, as our faith grows, as our wisdom grows, he gives us the opportunity to guide others that haven't reached that point yet, to be a part of his work, which is so awesome that he allows us to do that, to actually be a part of his work. And in doing so, we express our faith in his guidance, and he in return gives us extra rewards, gives us more opportunities. But here we see James cautioning people not to take that responsibility and opportunity too lightly, to take it cautiously. Make sure that when you become a guide to someone else, that it is by the will of the Lord that you are doing so. because there is greater condemnation. There is greater condemnation from the world, as well as greater responsibility and accountability to the Lord for what you do, what you say, how you guide someone else. That's why the caution is being expressed here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And he gets into a description of, basically, the influence of our tongue, our speech, the power that we have to influence others through what we say is mind-boggling, how much effect that we can have, beyond our comprehension of how much of a rippling effect through centuries that one conversation can have. So we got to be very careful in everything that we say. Think before you speak, and especially when you are put in a position to be a guide for others. When you have become a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, you have a lot of responsibility and a lot of accountability. Granted, along with that responsibility and accountability, when you do it right, you get rewards. That's what encourages us. And it's awesome when you get to see the results of your efforts to serve the Lord in this lifetime. Jump on over to James chapter 3 and verse 13 here. Reads, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. See, when you reach a point when you can then in turn start being a guide, sharing the wisdom that the Lord has given you, you must do it with meekness. That is power under control. It also says elsewhere with meekness and fear. Fear because that's the accountability and the potential for influencing someone else. Read 13 again. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Those things that can rise up in people once they get the responsibility of being a guide, sometimes it goes to people's heads. And they start abusing that so-called or so-perceived power of authority, which isn't really there. And it can twist people into becoming selfish, and as Eve says here, even devilish within themselves. For where is envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That strife, that contention, that also causes confusion and division shouldn't be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. These are the traits that people need to express that have become guides. It reads, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Don't become a guide, a teacher, a preacher, a pastor, in order to stir up strife and contention and division, because that is hypocrisy. You're not expressing the love of Jesus Christ. You're not fulfilling the desire of the Lord, because he doesn't want that strife and division and chaos. No, he wants peace, love, that gentleness, as he says, but the wisdom that is from above, coming from the Lord, not from us, not from ourselves, no way. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So as he said there at the beginning of chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So if you're going to become a master, if you're going to become a guide, working the work of the Lord, for the Lord, do it right. Because you are going to be held accountable by mankind, and most of all, by the Lord. So do it right. Keep the peace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many things you bless us with each and every day, and a blessed opportunity to be a part of your work is so awesome. Help us to truly appreciate that and take advantage of that when it comes our way. Thank you once again for being the ultimate guide, the great shepherd of all of us that truly trust in you. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.